This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we are back.
Yeah.
In case you didn't notice, we were not able to be on the air. This wicked, crazy, creepy, crappy weather that is still going on caused some challenges for us. And so we were not able to air a show yesterday, but we are back and we're generators are running or whatever. Everything's up and going. So we're good to go.
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling for one more show before Christmas.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to jump right in, right off. We're going to introduce, it is Thursday. Every other Thursday, we have the pleasure of talking to Jeff Reynolds, who's the senior editor at restoration-news.com and senior investigative researcher for Restoration of America. He's in Florida right now, so he's not dealing with the crap that we're dealing with. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm all right. And I will say it was, we had some cold weather earlier this week. It was in, it was down to like 29 for a low.
Whoa.
So, we had a little Arctic blast that hit us, and we're back to normal again. Actually, it's not even normal. It's raining right now. It's
about
58 and raining.
So the Northwest is making you feel like home. Yeah, the Northwest is bringing
it. We're sending a little of our weather. Of course, we're still dealing with atmospheric rivers and winds and power outages and trees and boughs and all kinds of stuff down. So it's been crazy. And I know I just saw that there's a quite serious flooding down in Linn County in that area. Western Washington, or western sort of southwest east Washington, is a lot of flooding. So winter hasn't even started, you guys, and we've got this crap. Good grief.
Let's hope it doesn't turn into one of those winters where you guys get all those ice storms. I do not miss those at all.
No, that was, what was that, February 2020. We'll never forget that. So, okay, well, Jeff is, warmish down there. We've, we've all got fires or whatever we need. Hunter, you talked yesterday about what had happened to one of your daughters.
Yeah, earlier this week.
And I know you wanted to update because you had some more adventures with that today.
You know, it's the fun. So earlier this week, it obviously wasn't yesterday because we weren't on the air yesterday, but I shared the story of how my 7-year-old first grader broke her arm on Friday. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, coming into Monday, we knew she wasn't going to school on Monday because she was really feeling nervous about it. By Monday night, she was ready to go back to school on Tuesday. My wife had spoken to the school and people in the school. And it was some real ironic conversations because she mentioned it's 4 to 6 weeks she's going to be in the cast. And the counselor kind of took that as she was going to miss a month of school. And I'm kind of going, and I'm kind of going, that's a weird response, especially from a school district that is having its challenges with attendance and this and that. I mean, and going so far as the person she talked to literally said, so after the first 10 days, they'll drop her from the school, but you can just re-enroll. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? She's going to be back as soon as we can. And they said, well, let's wait till at least through Wednesday. So, Thursday and Friday. And I'm kind of going, because she might not have made it through the whole day on Tuesday. I'll be honest about it. She was having her ups and downs still, but she could have tried. Definitely yesterday she could have gone. But so she is back in school today. So in talking with the people, it was kind of like, she's excited to be back, but she's a little nervous, given everything. So I went to walk her into her class this morning and was stopped at the front door with our policy is we don't allow parents to walk their kids to class. And I'm sitting there going, and I said, the first thing that blurted out my mouth, well, that's a stupid policy. Yeah. And obviously that got the young lady's tail feather up a little bit because she's like, well, do you want me to have someone escort her? I said, no, she can walk to her class just fine. She's just nervous being that she's coming back to school with a broken arm.
Yeah.
And so she buzzed her in. And because I went to open the door to let her in, because of course, one arm, she's going to struggle. These are heavy, big doors. Mm-hmm. She bolted out of her office and around and was on the other side of the door before I had it open.
To
make sure
God.
I wasn't going to go busting in here. And my first inclination was, here's the biggest problem with our school system right now. When you think a parent of a first grader is a bigger threat than not having armed protection within your school, we have a problem. And this is, and I don't blame the girl, and I'm not going to mention the school or anything else.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this is a school district policy that I would like addressed because it started in 2020, 2021 with COVID. They locked parents out and they're not letting it. And I understand, you know, not wanting, especially third, fourth, fifth graders, their parents walking them up to the classroom every day. I can understand the chaos that can cause, but there has to be exceptions for things like this. Even the birthday party cupcakes, because that happened to me last year with my daughters being told, you can't take these to the classroom. And I'm just going, as a taxpayer, as someone, you know, that is technically an owner of these buildings, I'm sitting here going to be literally blocked out. And then I go into the thing that we know for a fact that some of the worst behavior happening in our schools today is from third grade and younger kids. And I go, maybe part of this is the fact that you have literally kicked their parents out and kept them out of your schools and allowed these kids to run wild. It just blew my mind. And I'm just going, the priorities of this school district, keeping parents out, it supersedes any other level of security or anything they're trying to do. And I'm going, and with as bad a state of the schools are in this state and this community, this is the dumbest mistakes you can make.
Yeah. And Oregon is always in the bottom. And that's just, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely crazy. Hunter,
you know, you brought up the security aspect of this, and it's clearly some sort of, you know, security policy. All these school shootings are happening and they don't want to be held liable. They don't want to look like they're not providing ample security for the kids. Right. So, but down here in Florida, we have what's called the Guardian program. Not only do we have resource safety officers through the sheriff's department, they actually have armed police officers on campus in most, if not all, the schools down here. We also have the Guardian program, which is a volunteer. It's actually not a volunteer. It's a paid program where you can get certified in security training. And you can openly carry a long rifle and a sidearm as a guardian to be a rapid responder in case a security breach happens. And there are every, you know, my kids' schools have half a dozen of these people around campus. And yeah, it's you know, it's kind of it's an interesting debate. You know, should we have this kind of armed security around children? But at the same time, I'd rather have that than have somebody, you know, walk into a classroom and blow away 20 kids before anybody can even respond, you know? So,
yeah.
Well, and Oregon's gone polar opposite in Salem-Keizer because they voted to completely not even allow concealed carry into a building.
Yeah.
Right. Into any public building, right?
Yep. Right.
So, yeah. Not just the schools. And so, yeah, no, you. What you've got here in this case, in your case, Hunter, it's security theater, right? They're just trying to look like they're being secure, but oh my God, we can't have scary guns.
Oh yeah.
They want everybody to feel safe, but to not actually be safe.
Well, and one of the points, and we know reading through some of the lawsuits and other things that have been filed with Salem-Keizer in the last year or two, that, you know, their own safety policy is they don't even call the police if a child is acting out. And I sit here and go, and that's because, like you said, it's the optics of it. The moment a phone call is made to the police department, now it's public record that the police were called by the school to deal with a student. And now you know, it's all about optics and showing, no, we're fully safe. Look, we don't even have to call the police ever.
Yeah. Well, there's story really after story. Yeah, and story after story of teachers that have come out and said that they have been physically assaulted multiple times and are told to stay in the room with these people. It's absolutely a travesty. It's awful. And what Florida is doing, and I think a lot of red states, allowing teachers, if they want, to carry. There's also other options like the Byrna launcher or these launchers that have kinetic rounds and pepper balls in them that'll stop something in enough time to get everybody out. There are so many options. But these blue states like Salem-Keizer don't even have that conversation. So you're right, Jeff. It is security theater. Everybody feels safe. But nobody really is.
Well, so I actually had a conversation with someone who's married to a substitute teacher within this district who said that at one of the schools where they substitute, a kindergarten teacher abruptly quit because of the behavior within the classroom.
And we're talking 5-year-olds.
Wow. Yeah.
5-year-olds.
Oh, that, yeah, that reminds me. My kid, when she was in first grade, the entire classroom had to get out and go somewhere else while this kid was having a tantrum where he threw a chair through a window. Yep. And they just, you know, they let him, you know, destroy the classroom because they couldn't physically intervene. It was against the law.
Which is totally bass awkwards. They should be removing that kid, but that's the Oregon way. That's the Oregon way.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I'm glad she's back in school, Hunter. I mean, mm-hmm. and I remember back in the day when you, when the kid got that badge of honor and you got that cast because you want everybody to sign it. And it's like, yep.
Yeah, the moment she found out that her classroom knew about what had occurred, then her ears perked up of, okay, I think I'm ready to go back to school now.
Because now it's like, ooh, wow, cool. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Again, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds from restoration.news or dash-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and our great friends over at Bi-Mart.
Excellent. Well, you're a little verklempt there. You had that story at the top of the show. Still a little verklempt over
that. Well, you know, that's why we do this show, so we can really just get that stuff off our chest, air it out, and all of a sudden now you can take a breath and relax and enjoy the holiday season.
Well, not so fast. We're going to shift gears here a little bit. There's a story on Restoration News. This is a national story. This is an interesting one, too. Congress's national defense plan misses the mark. Trump shouldn't sign it. And I read the article this morning. It doesn't pull any punches. Jeff, tee it up for us and talk to us about this.
Yeah, so this is a debate that's been going on for a while. This seems to go on every year when they do the National Defense Authorization Act. They renew it. So it's Congress's fiscal responsibility to fund various parts of the military, and this is part of that. So since we don't actually pass comprehensive budgets anymore, because Congress doesn't have the spine to stick their neck out like that. But they have this National Defense Authorization Act, and everything that goes into it is everything you can think of that's related to the military. And over the last several years, the Biden administration threw in all kinds of crazy woke stuff, the DEI, critical race theory, and LGBT affirming everything, you know. So a lot of controversial stuff that a lot of conservatives really objected to. And so finally, you know, and this was on the campaign trail, Donald Trump promised to get wokeism out of the military. And we, Restoration News and Restoration of America, we launched a website called RestoreTheMilitary.com. Our CEO, Doug Truax, who was a former Senate candidate in Illinois in 2014, is also a retired Army Ranger and West Point graduate. He's very conservative and very concerned about wokeism, especially in our military academies. You know, the Naval Academy, Army, West Point, all of the academies have been infested with diversity, equity, and inclusion, and critical race theory, and all the most progressive, radical stuff you can think of, right? So we've been fighting back on this. We've been running ads. We've lobbied. We've written articles endlessly about this over the last year. And we thought we had a real opportunity this year with the National Defense Authorization Act to get rid of all of this stuff. And
you would think,
but as we state in this article that's on our website right now, that with friends like these Republicans, we don't even need Democrats, because a lot of the Democrat or the Republicans torpedoed efforts, but for instance, to require that we don't use Chinese technology in our military equipment and our intelligence apparatus, that kind of stuff. There was the effort to take DEI out of West Point and the other service academies.
Annapolis,
and
then,
and the Republicans, several Republicans that were in charge of writing the amendments to this act, removed those clauses. It was the COVID vaccine mandate. They were going to remove the vaccine mandate and issue a formal apology, and that got removed from the National Defense Authorization Act. There's all kinds of stuff in here that is a sellout to all of the campaign promises and all of the things that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth and all of the other folks in charge of Trump 2.0 have said for the entire campaign and throughout this year, to the point where, even though the National Defense Authorization Act has some good stuff in it, we're urging Donald Trump not to sign it, even though it's passed both houses of Congress. We're urging him to send it back to Congress to be reworked and to add all of those strict enforcements back in.
That's great. And I'm looking at it, too, because it says there, you know, credit where credit's due. There's some good stuff in here, but it's clearly not enough. And I love the secondary headline. It has gums where it should have fangs. And that's what it sounds like. It's sort of defanged the whole thing. What do you think as far as with the basically in bold capital, not capital, but basically urging President Trump to not sign this? Do you think he will heed that, or what do you think he'll do?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. We don't know the answer to that as of this particular moment, but I do have it on good authority. You know, we were at the top of the list on Real Clear Politics this morning. And that's widely read inside the Beltway. That's a very influential site, as well as giving us a lot of traffic, which we really appreciate. But it also does get the eyeballs of the people that we need to have the eyeballs on it. And I do have it from a little birdie that we did ruffle some feathers and we got some attention where we wanted to get attention. So hopefully they are reviewing this and looking at it and taking our word that this was a swing and a miss. And they had an opportunity with the National Defense Authorization Act to re-warriorize the military, which is something that they've specifically and explicitly stated for months and months. And they've done good work in trying to do so. Pete Hegseth with the Department of War has really made strides with that. But the National Defense Authorization Act needs to go even further. And the fact that we're backsliding with it means that they need to go back to the drawing board on it.
Which is so frustrating as a voter, because that was one of the things I think many people who supported the president and voted for the president, this was part of that. You know, that I voted for this. This is what I voted for. And to see this sort of mealy-mouthing it and walking it back is, he hasn't made any comments about it, though. So I know he's, oh gosh, I haven't heard anything. I mean, there's so many things on the table. Again, you wake up trying to do show prep. It's like, we got to deal with this. We got to deal with that. But I got to say, just as for everybody listening, restoration-news.com is a great site because you guys dig deep into this stuff. And this is an excellent article and one worthy of sharing. Like you said, if the little birdie says you're ruffling feathers, that's a good thing.
Yes, let's hope that we have the effect that we're trying to have, because it really is it's a really big missed opportunity if it ends up being signed. And my understanding, and I may have this wrong, so don't, you know, well, I guess you can quote me on it since I'm on live on the air right now. But, my understanding was that he was supposed to have signed it by now. Perhaps the delay is because he's rethinking it or looking at it. I hope that's the case.
Me too.
So I think if he sends it back to Congress, that'll send a clear message. You know, you guys stop screwing around and actually send us something that fulfills all of the campaign promises and the mandate. Like you said, we voted for this. This is what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And, he does have a mandate from the American people. And that's why he won the election. So it's time to clean stuff up. And you mentioned, you know, I do want to say thanks for giving a shout out to the website, restoration-news.com. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a year-end compilation of all of the news we've broken and all of the unique stories we've done that nobody else has covered. And I had forgotten a lot of It's really kind of crazy. I came up with over 70 articles just this morning going through things where we have changed the news cycle. For instance, we're almost exclusively responsible for ruining Jay Jones' life. The attorney general elect in Virginia. Yeah, Raging Jay. We were the first to expose a lot of that information. And he enters into office. He's going to take office in January under a cloud of suspicion and under active investigation by several law enforcement agencies in the state of Virginia. And that's because of the reporting that we did. So, I'm going to brag. But it's the end of the year, I'm in a festive mood.
Absolutely. And,
I'm doing this compilation, and it's kind of crazy how many things that we've covered. The one that I covered was the big power outage in Spain and Portugal in April that was caused 2 weeks after they went 100% to renewable energy. And it was caused by renewable energy. And it's clear, even though they've gone and issued a full government report covering up any connection to renewable energy. So, we've been doing a lot of these stories, and this is another one where we've had real influence. And I hope President Trump does not sign the National Defense Authorization.
I agree. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour. There's lots more to talk about with Jeff Reynolds. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Home Comfort and the Perlin Mill.
All right, everybody, we're continuing our conversation with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. Bookmark it. Do it. It's a great site. Okay, I got to talk to you guys. Did you guys watch Trump last night?
I did not. I saw a couple of highlights this morning.
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
So my understanding is that he kind of was going to, we're going to talk about Venezuela and all the stuff going on with Venezuela. Then he comes on the air and basically goes, no, we're not. We're going to talk about all the great stuff that I did. He talked about immigration and Somalis and things like that. So basically it was really a classic bait and switch.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant, actually, because all the talk was that, okay, it's time to go to war with Venezuela, and we're going to announce the bombing will start in 5 minutes, to quote Ronald Reagan on Hot Light, right?
Right.
and so everybody's all worked up, and, oh, my God, this guy's out of control. Ah! And then he just goes in and does his sales shtick and reminds people why they elected him in the first place, both because of the attitude and because of the accomplishment.
And he got every major news network to carry it.
That's right. Exactly. And they had to carry it because
they did.
Against their better judgment.
And I guess it was only like 19 minutes, because typically the guy can go on and on and on and on. And he didn't. He was pretty tight and concise with it, and boom. And there it was. I just think that's funny. That is so Trump.
It is classic.
Love him or hate him. I mean, the guy doesn't have a filter. We talked about that earlier in the week. We're not going to rehash it, but it's baked in the cake. We know what we get with him.
Mm-hmm.
We do. So, okay, I want to, this story came across a couple of days ago. This is a Target employee, Jeannie, the lovely Jeannie. She looks like she's maybe a little older than me. I don't know, maybe in her 70s, something like that. I'm, not there. But this lovely woman who, maybe is retired and having to work part-time. She's working at Target, minding her own business, putting things back on the shelf. And this wretched human being comes up and decides to film, berating her, dropping F-bombs, yelling at her. It was absolutely unwarranted. She sought her out to abuse her. Meanwhile, Target Jeannie is very lovely, and it's like, well, that's your opinion. Okay, have a nice day. She was a total captive here, could not get away, couldn't leave because she works there. So this whole thing, and this woman, Michaela Ponce, decided that she was so righteous and this was so great and she was awesome. She's going to put it out there, and wrong. Basically, she's like persona non grata on the web. Everyone's coming after her. There's a lot of talk. I don't know whether her employer is going to let her go. So you guys are all aware of that. But apparently she's now come out and apologized.
Yeah, I'm kind of going. And the irony is she found nothing wrong with her actions, even when the lovely elderly lady was pointing out that her behavior, she literally doubled down on it and continued with it. And now that she has gone viral and her employer has been notified of her behavior and all the other things, now all of a sudden she comes out with a public apology.
Which really, to me, smacks of, oh, crap, I got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm certain the HR department told her to put out an apology to save her job. So this is over the fact that the Target worker was wearing a red Charlie Kirk.
A Freedom shirt. Right?
Correct.
And you pointed this out, and I hadn't even considered this before, but I'd watched part of the clip and I was aware of the controversy, but I didn't put this together at first, Denise, but the fact that she went in there filming it first, she deliberately went in there and grabbed it all on video because she thought it was a good idea to virtue signal how righteous she is by opposing fascism or whatever she thought she was doing in her own mind.
Yep.
That just negates any sort of, because that's obviously premeditated, and it's obvious she obviously had the goal of demonstrating how good she is and how bad the other person is. Instead of just having a polite conversation, hey, have you considered the fact that people might be offended by your shirt? Something like that. Even if you wanted to put that on film, instead of dropping F-bombs and turning into the Tasmanian devil, you know, how is this effective? And this is a larger point to me is why are libs of TikTok became famous because of videos like this. Why is it considered a positive addition to our public discourse when you're going on, you're recording yourself acting as insane as you possibly can imagine acting? In opposition to something you disagree with?
I think I know, because here's the challenge. It goes to the people that put out derogatory comments about Charlie Kirk when he was assassinated. And it goes to those people where they live their social media life in a tiny echo chamber. And when they do something this appalling and this offensive, then all of a sudden, when it reaches beyond their little echo chamber, they don't know what to do. They believe that the internet is all in agreement with them 100% because of their echo chamber, because of all, you know, the way the system is set up to just kind of reinforce your perspective.
Yeah, and real world.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And real world, smack this lady. And to your point, Jeff, she went in there specifically looking for this part of her apology, which is why it really doesn't ring true and nobody's really buying it. She says, I did not handle the situation the way I should have. I allowed my emotions to take over instead of choosing restraint and empathy. It's like she sought this woman out. That's a lie. That's a flat out lie.
It was a premeditated verbal assault on a woman she knew, one, probably was very unlikely to get confrontational in return, and two, really couldn't go anywhere because she was at her place of work.
Now, the flip side of that coming out, this chick is apologizing, but somebody interviewed the lovely Jeannie, who, by the way, I have to inform you, Hunter, 70 is not elderly.
Oh.
But so Jeannie was out there and she's saying, well, two wrongs.
70 is the new 45.
It is exactly right. So she was coming out and saying two wrongs don't make a right. She doesn't want this woman to lose her job. She's very lovely. She's a very, very genteel, lovely woman who, again, was just doing her job. And I love that there was a Give, Send, Go that was set up. And I think it's raised over $200,000 to send her on a vacation. But at this point, Jeannie, invest it well and retire. I love how the normal people, normal Americans rallied to this woman. And this other woman, whether she gets fired or not, I don't know. She is the bad guy in all of this. And it's pretty universal condemnation of her. So maybe I'm hoping, like you said, too, that the people that think, and you know, the echo chamber Hunter, and the people think it's okay to just go out there and post this crap because they're going to get clicks and people are going to agree with them. Maybe this is a wake up call. I know.
We get a lot of those. You know, the other two elements we talked about when we first talked about this story a couple of days ago, was number one, I am fully in support of Target banning this woman from ever stepping foot in their stores again.
Absolutely.
Number two, because it happened in California, which is a two-party state. She did not have permission to record the other woman, so there could be a criminal charge attached to all of this.
On the other side of it, this woman is a nurse. So in my, I think she should be fired. I would not want anybody that behaves this way to be treating anybody. God forbid somebody came in a red Charlie Kirk shirt and was bleeding out. Would she just stand there and go?
A simple car accident. Somebody comes in, has been in a car accident, and they're wearing a Charlie Kirk shirt or a MAGA hat, and all of a sudden, this is your nurse. How do you, you know, do you even trust this person is going to do anything to take care of you?
This is crap.
There are real actual concerns there. And so, at the very least, I would hope that HR would want her to go through sensitivity training, but I doubt that would happen. Not that I believe in it.
Unfortunately, HR sensitivity training now would actually support her being that way. Come on.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, yeah. And it's California, so good luck getting her fired.
Well, isn't part of, you know, the medical oath that do no harm?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of going, so she broke her oath the moment she turned on her record and went after this woman.
Right. Yeah. No, she targeted this woman, no pun intended. And she deliberately recorded it so that she could have the entire world look at her and hopefully shame her. That was her goal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Target Jeannie. She wanted Jeannie, this lovely woman. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The consequences are coming out. The apology there. Somebody ran it through Grok to say, was this AI generated? And Grok said, yeah, probably. A lot of it. So she probably didn't even write it.
The apology.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
I mean, because it was obviously written by the HR department, and HR may have run it through AI too, because they all sound the same. You know, it's all corporate sanitized doublespeak. It has no meaning in any context.
For me, it's like it's a conversation I have with my children on a regular basis. You know, they do something, get in trouble, then they apologize profusely when the consequences hit them. And I sit there and say, if you were truly sorry about this behavior, then we wouldn't be repeating this behavior on a regular, you know, cycle. And I'm kind of going, that's what this sounds like to me. I did what I did. And now that I'm seeing consequences coming my way, which weren't supposed to, because I was the good guy and righteous and all of this.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, I need to apologize. But will it really even change her behavior if she were in a similar situation? She probably won't go after a 70-year-old woman again, but she may do this to a 25-year-old mother wandering through Target with her kids, or now Walmart, since if Target kicks her out.
That's the worst part. That's the worst punishment, right? Mm-hmm. You have to shop at Walmart now instead of Target. Poor thing.
Well, and I know a lot of us are just, you know, consequences, we're just not seeing any on so many levels. And so consequences here, I think that's why people are like, she acted badly and she's paying the price. So, and like, again, Jeannie, the lovely Jeannie, probably is set to retire so she doesn't have to work at Target and have to put up with idiots like this woman. So there's your silver lining.
then again, you said she's about 70, right?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's hard. I don't know.
So maybe she's maybe she has to work there. Maybe she's just there because she's retired and working part time just to be able to keep herself active, you know. So good for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, that's the part of the story that I love, is that normal, decent people have really come and rallied around her. And again, it's 200K and climbing. So I think that's wonderful. So that's the good part of the story. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Then let's shift gears and maybe talk a little Christmas movies, little things like that, because it's coming up a week from today.
I better start shopping.
I know. Me too. All right. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. For this last segment, we're going to just go a little bit lighter. Again, this is our last broadcast, not of the year. We'll be back on the 29th, but we're taking the week off. We're going to enjoy our families. Christmas falls it's a week from today. And I know we have some traveling that we have to do, so we are going to do that. But I wanted to shift gears a little bit and let's talk Christmas movies. I know, you know, the big debate, Jeff, you know, Die Hard, is it a Christmas movie or not? I know my vote is yes.
Hunter?
It is definitely a Christmas movie. Come on. Okay. It takes place at Christmas.
This has been my thing. Many years ago, I decided Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. The debate is over. It has a happy ending. It happens at a Christmas party. The good guys win at the end. The guy on the naughty list falls off the tower. It's absolutely all the Christmas themes are hit, right? So obviously Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yes.
My campaign for many years now has been that we also need to add a couple of other movies to the Christmas movie canon. The top of that list for me is Lethal Weapon.
The first
Lethal
one.
Weapon is, yes, the first Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
And Danny Glover. There's, to me, that is as much a Christmas movie as Die Hard, because it happens at Christmas. It's Christmas themed. He contemplates suicide before turning his life around.
Yeah.
So it's very much like It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life and Lethal Weapon are basically the same movie. So to me, there's no question that...
No.
I mean, within a few different parameters. But they're basically the same movie.
The being Lethal Weapon as a Christmas movie, yes, It's a Wonderful Life. I watched that again. That is a movie which I adore. I've watched the black and white, which I'm a purist. I like the black and white version. And to me, it's the perfect movie. It's absolutely the perfect movie. I absolutely adore it. It never gets old. I'm a blubbery, weepy mess at the end when the bell rings and, you know, his brother Harry comes home and the whole thing. I absolutely adore it. So I disagree with you that Lethal Weapon is basically the same. I do love it. Now, by that, then, if you say Lethal Weapon, then so is Rambo.
Absolutely. That was going to be my next movie on the list. Rambo, because it happens during Christmas, too, and it sort of kind of has a happy-ish ending.
Happy-ish. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe not. Maybe the Christmas theme is a little bit more tenuous in that one, but it is 100% part of the Christmas tradition. And then, of course, Die Hard 2. There's a lot of murdering going on, but outside of that, it happens during Christmas too. So,
what's a little murder at Christmas? Come on.
Well, I just like the Christmas movie checklist. Okay, let's see. Yeah. There's snow on the ground. Check. Happy ending. Check. Guy falls off of a building. Check. I mean, those are like the three, because I'm sitting there going, you think about some of the funny Christmas music movies where everyone falls off of the roof as they're putting up decorations and,
it's like Hans Gruber falling off of Nakatomi Plaza.
Or Chevy Chase falling off his roof.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It makes total
That's
sense.
That's another one. Christmas Vacation, love it. Never gets old. Never.
Well, you know, the one I grew up with, Home Alone. The older I get, the more I can relate to it. All these kids around my house, I'm sitting there going, I could totally be that family that leaves their kid behind. Is where I do it. We get in the car and I'm like, we get in the car every time. And I'm like, okay, sound off. Make sure everyone's in here.
That is too funny. So Gremlins, I got to put Gremlins on the list too, because that takes place at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of these sort of horror movies, and I'm not including real horror movies like, what is it, Silent Night, Deadly Night, or Black Christmas. Yeah. I don't like any of those. But yeah, the ones that are kind of, but I have always been in the camp of Die Hard. I've already watched that. But then on the TV side, I know, Hunter, you were saying a lot of the stuff we grew up with, kids today, the attention span, because my favorite, to me, because everybody had three channels, everybody in the country, to me, when Rudolph came on, okay, it's Christmas time, Rudolph and a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
But with streaming everything, we don't have those touchstones anymore.
Yeah, you don't have them kind of forced upon you as you're flipping through channels. That, and then I sit here and go, and with the animation of today and the way things are done in animated shows with all the very bright, vibrant colors and everything else, I find it difficult to get my kids to sit and watch one of these all the way through, because it just doesn't hold their attention visually the way the new ones do. And I'm kind of going, you know, between the claymations and the old, you know, where you can literally tell that they just use the same reel playing over and over again for like Charlie Brown's dancing and things like that. I'm going, you know, you got to have the classics.
Yeah. That's also a reason why movies suck now too, is just in general. because Hollywood has opted to throw story almost completely out the window in favor of jump cutting, short, quick sequences, bright lights, lots of sensory overload, instead of letting the thread of a story develop in a way that's that engages your brain. It's more raccoons gathering shiny objects than anything else.
It's very frenetic, and at the expense, we were talking about the new Avatar movie coming up, and how it's kind of like fast food. You consume it, and it's like, okay, I'm full. Oh, I'm not going to go see it. You know who I blame for all of this? I blame Elmo. Now, let me tell you why I blame Elmo. Because Elmo is the root of all of this. Because before Elmo, Sesame Street was sort of low key. It was very sweet. We grew up with like Mr. Rogers and Captain Kangaroo, and everything was sort of very, you know, it was geared towards being sort of gentle. Elmo came in, screaming and yelling, arms flailing, and all of a sudden, if you look back, I'm right. It's like the disrespect started when teachers started saying, call me by my first name. So that to me is so it's Elmo. Elmo, it's before Elmo and after Elmo.
So the B-E and A-E?
A-E. Because now everything is so frenetic, and like you said, it's the jump cuts. It's even in the framing of shots where you don't sort of see, you don't get to absorb the backgrounds of things.
Right?
Yeah, and everything's extreme close-ups, and the background is blurred, so you don't have a sense of place even in it. Like, think about the Lord of the Rings movies. It was like, I feel like I'm in New Zealand, where you don't have that anymore. There's more blurred-out backgrounds. It's just filmmaking and storytelling in general really just kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, I think there's really something to that. It's focused on the actor's face. It's focused on the celebrity, the big box, big box office star, right? Instead of having those people there to support a larger project, you know, they're telling an epic story. Epic stories aren't even being told anymore. You know,
that
even look what they did to Star Wars with, ruining the hero and villain arc, right? And mixing that up to, we don't even know if it's good to be a good guy anymore.
Well, I'm hoping that trend changes. We're just about out of time, Jeff. Real quick, we got about a minute, family holiday this year for you?
Yeah, my son's coming home from the Navy. So it'll be the four of us, me and my daughter and my wife. And so we're, and the dog and the goats and the chickens and the turkeys and the rabbits. And so, it'll be a fun time.
Nice. Yeah, I'm traveling. Hunter, you're traveling too. So again, this is our last show for before Christmas. Wow, hard to believe it.
So I think we should just say Merry Christmas out there.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to everybody.
I can't say Merry Christmas until I start Christmas shopping.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's why we're off next week, so we can get that done during that noon hour.
We'll say it for you. All right, Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you back here on the 29th.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.